It's Thursday, and that means it's time to read from your email.
But first, a correction. We misidentified a sociologist in a story about a study he conducted. Ross, not Robert Coppell, and his colleagues found that high-tech hospital computer programs were increasing rather than decreasing both errors and stress. Coppell wrote us saying, "This is a unique error which has created another difficulty. My older son now calls me Bob."
On to your comments and these thoughts about our coverage of the Terri Schiavo case. My conversation with Jay Wolfson, who served as the court-appointed guardian ad litem for Schiavo, brought this comment from Judy Nichols of Wilmington, North Carolina.
"After a weekend of watching split-screen confrontations between opposing politicians, I can't tell you how much I appreciated finally hearing a calm, objective voice," she writes. "It was heartbreaking to listen to Dr. Wolfson's description of the time he spent with Ms. Schiavo. His interview showed the complexities of the case, that there are no good guys or bad guys, and how truly painful the situation is for everyone."
We heard from some of you with legal expertise about Michelle's interview about living wills.
I spoke with Dr. Barry Baines, who is Associate Director of Hospice of the Twin Cities, and I asked him if a living will is something people can do on their own. He said it is.
"Would you expect a lawyer to expound on surgical techniques?" asks lawyer Michael Walsh of Muskegon, Michigan. "The doctor's legal advice could be tragic, because living wills in many states, including Michigan, where I practice, are not adequate for the Schiavo situation. Here, and in many other states, a patient would need a durable power of attorney and/or a health care directive. A living will, absent any other enforceable document, would not work."
Listener Nancy Golden wrote in about a decision in San Francisco to ban handshakes at the end of girls' soccer games.
"This story really struck a chord with me. Instead of banning the handshake, why doesn't someone simply tell the players that this kind of behavior won't be tolerated, that they need to exhibit sportsmanlike behavior, and that's that?"
Finally, an email from a music lover with a reminder that the little things count. Ron Delewski of Aspinwall, Pennsylvania, heard our obituary for pianist and singer Bobby Short, who was a fixture for decades in a Manhattan nightclub. Delewski writes, "I don't mean to put too fine a point on your report, but it's the Cafe Carlyle, not the Carlyle Cafe. I bring this up not to scold, but because Bobby Short was such a treasure, and I finally remember what might have been one of the most romantic nights of my life. Warmly ensconced with my wife on a banquette inside the Cafe Carlyle, with Bobby Short at the piano, singing a Gershwin tune. Magic.
Our love is here.
Send us your comments at atc@npr.org. And please tell us where you're from and how you pronounce your name.
Thank you. This is NPR, National Public Radio.